It focuses on the ear, nose, and throat. So we're discussing otolaryngology. Our guest is Dr. Rachel Jonas. She is an otolaryngologist specializing in laryngology for UK Health. This is UK Healthcast, a podcast presented by UK Healthcare. Thanks for joining us. I'm Joey Waller. Hi there, Dr. Jonas. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Great to have you aboard. We appreciate the time. So first, in a nutshell, for those unfamiliar, what does an otolaryngologist do? And how does your subspecialty there in laryngology fit into that?
Well, otolaryngology, I think, is more commonly known as ear, nose, and throat, or ENT. And once you kind of break it down to ears, nose, and throat, it's kind of tells you a lot. So otolaryngologist focuses on the diseases of the ears, the nose, the throat. And then also we focus on anything going on in the neck area. So there are some subspecialists who focus on thyroid, neck cancer, et cetera. But me specifically, I focus on the throat aspect of ear, nose, and throat. So laryngology is the larynx specifically. That's the anatomical portion that I focus on, the larynx. And then laryngology is kind of the study of the larynx. So anything dealing with the larynx has to do with breathing, has to do with the voice, and has to do with swallowing. So I focus on difficulty with voice, difficulty swallowing, and difficulty breathing.
Gotcha. So before we go any further, what first inspired you to pursue a career in medicine, and why ENT and laryngology specifically? Anything in particular that drew you there?
I was actually a teacher before I went to medical school. And a lot of my interactions with my students and my students' parents and hearing about their health issues and feeling like a lot of times my students weren't coming to school because their health issues or their family's health issues actually is what led me into medicine. So kind of a roundabout way to get to the career. And then specifically ENT, I noticed that within ENT, two things. One, it really focused on human interactions and what gives meaning to our life, being able to talk and communicate, be able to hear, being able to sit down and have a meal with someone. That's really what ENT focuses on, is really giving quality and meaning to life. And then the really cool thing about ENT is that we have a lot of collaboration. So, for example, the folks who specifically focus on the ears, they're always working with the audiologists. I'm always working with the voice therapist and the swallow therapist, and really trying to come up with a multidisciplinary approach to treat patients and optimize their outcomes.
And I'm going to ask you a little bit more about that in a moment or two. But first, you touched on it a moment ago. Exactly what voice, airway, and swallowing conditions do you typically treat? What's most common?
A lot of people present to me with chronic hoarseness, feeling like their voice doesn't sound the same. There can be a wide range of reasons for this. Sometimes it's a functional thing, the way patients are using their voice, especially after an injury or something like a laryngitis, and then they just kind of start using their voice incorrectly and need some voice therapy to do that or to improve their voice. Then there can be lesions on the vocal cords. There can be growths. There can be paralysis of the vocal cords. Those are really the main reasons for dysphonia.
And when you talk about people suffering from that, what are the most common ways in which perhaps people damage their voice without even realizing?
Good question. That's hard to know because hindsight's always 20/20. Sometimes you can have a prominent vessel on your vocal cord and that vessel can rupture and cause a hemorrhage. Sometimes it's from overuse, yelling, and then that causes nodules on the vocal cords. A lot of times it's from smoking. Smoking can cause growths on the vocal cords. And then sometimes we just don't know what caused the damage.
So any voice or airway conditions you're seeing recently that are trending more in Kentucky?
I think that the pathologies that I see here are pretty similar to the pathologies that I've seen in other places, to be perfectly honest.
And when exactly would you say that someone should seek help from a professional, a specialist like yourself, if they notice voice or swallowing issues, if there is some hoarseness and let's say it's not going away or whatever the case may be, where's the line where they know to come and seek help?
Our practice guidelines recommend that someone have a laryngoscopy, which means looking at the voice box, if the voice has not improved after 4 weeks. So that's pretty early on. If you've had hoarseness for 4 weeks, our guidelines do recommend getting in to see a laryngologist or an ear, nose, and throat doctor who can look at the voice box in clinic and evaluate. So that's in terms of the voice, I would recommend pretty early evaluation. In terms of swallowing, I think we're looking for red flag symptoms, which prompts urgent evaluation. And then if you don't have any of those red flag symptoms, we start saying, really, it's symptoms. How much is this bothering you? How much is this impacting your quality of life? How much is this preventing you from being able to enjoy a meal with your family? Some of those red flag symptoms are weight loss, excessive weight loss. You need a pretty urgent evaluation. The other one is pneumonias. If you're having a pneumonia because of your difficulty swallowing, that means food is going down into your lungs and you're having aspiration events. So weight loss and pneumonias are really the big ones where I say urgent evaluation. And then after that, it becomes really how much is this impacting your quality of life?
And then you mentioned it briefly a moment ago for chronic hoarseness or difficulty swallowing. In terms of the diagnostic process, anything further that people should know when they come in to be checked out?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm always going to look at your throat with what's called a flexible laryngoscope. The main way of doing that is actually with this small little camera. It looks like a thin piece of spaghetti that has a camera on the end. And it goes actually in through the nose because the nose is connected to your throat, as you can imagine, because you breathe through your nose and then you get air into your throat and then into your windpipe. So the camera goes into the nose, goes all the way through the nose, and then it makes this little curve down to look at the throat. And then we can see the voice box and we can see the start of where you swallow. We can't actually see the esophagus, but we see the start of where you swallow. While we're looking at the voice box, we ask you to say words. We ask you to make sounds and so that we can see the vocal cords, not only just their anatomy, make sure there's nothing on them, but then see how they're functioning, make sure they're vibrating correctly, make sure they're moving correctly. So that's for difficulty breathing. For difficulty swallowing, one of the main things I get is called a barium swallow study. That's where you go and you sit in an x-ray machine and you drink barium. Barium shows up on x-rays, so you can watch it go down the esophagus and we can watch where the barium might be getting stuck or if there's any strictures, anything that's preventing the flow of barium. We can also look at the strength of the muscles and see how the throat muscles are working to make sure that that is efficiently using your muscles and your swallowing mechanisms as well.
And so that would all seem to be diagnostic. How about some of the in-office procedures you're able to perform in terms of treatment and, when necessary, what surgical procedures are performed?
Yeah. In terms of what I can do in the office, it's a couple of things. One, if you have a vocal cord paralysis, so that means one of your vocal cords is not moving correctly. It's not moving at all, actually, if you have a paralysis. And what happens when you have a voice is your vocal cords are kind of like curtains. They open and close, open and close. They open when air goes through them and air goes down into your lungs. They close when you talk and then they vibrate against each other. If one of the vocal cords isn't able to open or close, then the vocal cords can't touch in the middle and then they can't vibrate. So that causes people to have a really breathy voice. It sounds kind of like this. And one thing we can do in the office is we can actually go and we can put filler in their vocal cords. And that makes the vocal cord bigger. And then it will touch the other vocal cord and it will improve the voice. There are also a range of laser procedures that I can do. If people have growths on their vocal cords, we can actually ablate it with a laser, and that can be done in the office. We can also inject steroids, inject lots of other things into the throat in the office. In terms of swallowing, the in-office procedure that we can do is a dilation. Now, I typically do my dilations in the operating room just because of patient tolerance. It is a little bit uncomfortable, but there are some patients who are really champs and don't want to undergo general anesthesia, and they can tolerate a in-office dilation really well. It's where we put a balloon into the upper esophagus and inflate that balloon, and it just dilates and opens up the esophagus.
And then in terms of working closely with other specialists and speech language pathologists at UK Healthcare, something you also touched on a bit earlier, what would you say the key is to making that all work?
Communication. Always communication. The swallow therapist and the voice therapist and I are constantly talking about patients and talking about our plans, our thoughts. We oftentimes show our scope exams to each other and just relay progress that patients are making. So if I have a patient who I think needs voice therapy, but they're just not making progress with the voice therapist will contact me and say, is there anything surgically or procedurally that you can do? Similarly, if I see a patient who I think is using their vocal cords in an inefficient manner and needs a little bit of therapy to readjust and reuse their voice in a more efficient way, then I'll contact the voice therapist.
Couple of other things. For professionals that rely heavily on their voice to make a living, singers, teachers, people that have to speak a lot for whatever reason, public speakers, what's the biggest recommendation you'd give them, generally speaking, for keeping their voice healthy?
Well, one, avoid smoking and being around secondhand smoke. That not only dries out the membranes of the mucosal membranes of the vocal cords, but it risks growths on the vocal cords. So avoiding smoking, avoiding secondhand smoking is the number one recommendation that I have. After that, it's humidification. Humidification can really help with the lining of the vocal cords. So that means drinking a lot of water. If you're going to be in a dry place, having a humidifier with you. And then I always tell patients, if you're struggling with your voice, instead of pushing it out, get an amplifier. Sometimes just a microphone, if you're a teacher in the classroom and you're feeling like you're really straining to use your voice and students aren't hearing you, then get a microphone, and that prevents strain on the vocal cords.
Sounds like great advice. How about one common misconception or just one thing you wish from your experience that more people knew about the work you do or about voice and airway health in general?
I wish more people knew how beneficial a voice therapist can be. Oftentimes I tell patients that they need voice therapy and they're just looking for a quick fix, a quick medication or a surgery or something, and are not as invested in undergoing voice therapy, which can be about 1 to 2 month process. I do wish that patients really realize the benefit of voice therapy and working alongside a voice therapist as well as your doctor.
And then in summary here, doctor, you mentioned earlier, interestingly, that it was your experience as a teacher that led you to this career change. Was there one defining moment or story that really affirmed this career path for you? You said that seeing people go through health struggles made you want to help do something about it.
I wouldn't say as a teacher there is one defining moment. It was just the collection of those moments. I would say that what reaffirms my excitement about being in this career is when I give a patient a voice back. They go from really struggling to communicate, not even being able to talk with their loved ones, and then being able to talk with their loved ones without running out of air, without struggling, and having their loved ones hear their voice again is really rewarding for me.
Yeah, like many things in life, I think it's safe to say we all take a healthy, strong voice for granted until it's not there anymore, right?
That is true.
Well, folks, we trust you're now more familiar with otolaryngology and all the different moving parts involved. Dr. Jonas, keep up the great work, and thanks so much again.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And for more information, please do visit ukhealthcare.uky.edu. If you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social media. And thanks again for being part of UK Healthcast, a podcast presented by UK Healthcare.